Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into another exciting, fantastic, entertaining, choose your adjective, right? Edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, September 28, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a great show in store for all of you out there. We're going to start off a bit heavy. Yesterday's show was a bit heavy, I must admit, seeing as though news broke concerning the college basketball FBI investigation in which we saw one of the biggest names in the sport of men's college hoops, Rick Pitino, lose his job due to a scandal that has sent ripples not only throughout just, you know, college basketball, but I think this is going to be a story that we will see also have an effect on other sports collegiately as well. But and it's going to continue to unfold as the weeks roll along here. So today we start a bit heavy as well, as we will tackle the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump, his comments over the weekend as it pertains to the national anthem protest across the league. That is a story that is very important, and I think a few things need to be cleared up when it comes to that story. So don't miss that. We'll have that combo in just a moment, I should say. And then also on the show, we'll talk about Michigan State hockey, seeing as though MSU hockey had its media day actually during Current Sports yesterday. We'll have a man on today's airwaves who was there covering hockey media day, Jason Ruff, our dear friend Jason Ruff, MSU hockey beat writer for Impact Sports. He'll have a few takeaways and expectations going into the new year for MSU hockey as Danton Cole enters his first season as the head coach there. And we'll even talk some Detroit Lions and MSU football, as we didn't get a chance to recap what took place over the weekend with them. Thing is, though, of course, I'm just getting back from vacay from Jamaica and did not get a chance to address that on Monday. So a lot to get to. A lot to get to. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with MSU men's soccer, as the number four MSU men's soccer team lost its first game of the season last night, being dominated by the number 24 Akron Zips, 4-1 the final in that match. Zips defenseman Nate Schultz scored the first two goals for Akron, which were also his first goals of the season. Defenseman Nick Hines and Jayo Montahio had the other goals for the Zips. MSU defenseman Ryan Scott had the lone goal for the Spartans, which was his second goal of the season. The Spartans will look to bounce back, I should say, this Sunday against number 16, Ohio State. The Buckeyes sitting at 7-1-1. That will take place right here on campus at DeMartin Stadium. Kickoff scheduled for 3 p.m. MSU hockey held their media day yesterday to unofficially begin the season. The team hopes to have a turnaround year and bounce back from last season. This offseason, the team lost Mason Appleton, who signed an entry-level NHL contract with the Winnipeg Jets. The team will be without its leading scorer from last season. His departure also thins the number of upperclassmen, leaving the team with only 3 seniors and 3 juniors. The team has 2 challenges it will face this season to improve defensively and offensively. Last season, the Spartans were among the lowest scoring teams in college hockey and hope to improve on that. First game, October 13th at Bowling Green, followed by their first home opener the next night. All right, the MSU football equipment staff had a response to Jim Harbaugh's complaint about Purdue's away locker rooms. This was absolutely hilarious. Talk about shade, right? What MSU's Twitter account did was tweet out pictures of MSU's away locker rooms with the caption, quote, "Welcoming Iowa to the visiting side of Spartan Stadium this weekend," end quote. Now, this came after Harbaugh complained about the state of not only Purdue's locker rooms, who they beat last week 28-10, but the locker rooms across the Big Ten. Harbaugh said via the Free Press, quote, "It's become apparent after going around to all the visiting schools the last couple of years that a conscious effort of gamesmanship is happening. It's unsportsmanlike when you have locker rooms that are too small, they're not heated or cooled properly. In this case, no air conditioning." Purdue responded by stating, quote, "We would fully support a conversation regarding a conference-wide set of guidelines for visiting football teams' accommodations because we have experienced less than ideal conditions on the road. Now, there is no place for gamesmanship when it comes to player care and safety. The after-the-fact concerns expressed by Michigan are somewhat surprising because a member of its football staff conducted a walkthrough of our facilities with our athletics department staff at Ross Abe Stadium on July 18th. Drama, right? Jim Harbaugh, I tell you. All right, the 2-1 Spartans will host the 3-1 Iowa Hawkeyes this Saturday at Spartan Stadium, 4 p.m. This will be the first game between the two schools since 2015, that being a Big Ten championship game where the Spartans won by 3, 16-13, and, of course, eventually moved on to the college football playoffs. All right, the Detroit Tigers' losing streak continues to 9 games. A 7-4 loss to the Kansas City Royals last night. Jordan Zimmerman had his first quality start since August 7th. Through 6 innings, he allowed only 2 runs, but it wouldn't be enough to break the losing streak. Now, going into the 7th inning, the Tigers held a slim lead before relief pitcher Drew Verhagen allowed a 2-run homer to Paulo Orlando, allowing the Royals to come back. The Tigers, it's a possibility that they could end up with the worst record in all of the majors when the regular season is said and done. They will play the Royals again tonight, 8:15 p.m. Cool story here, though. The Tigers are hoping that genes are passed down successfully as the 62-96 Tigers signed Dominican Republic prospect Pedro Martinez Jr. Yes, the son of the Hall of Fame pitcher Pedro Martinez. Now, Martinez Jr. received a signing bonus of more than $750,000, and his father, Pedro, would only let Martinez Jr. go pro on one condition, which was if the organization that signed him let him finish high school. The Tigers obviously agreed to that. Unlike his father, however, the 17-year-old prospect is a third baseman, a position the Tigers actually have depth with Yamir Candelario and Nick Castellanos, Nicholas Castellanos, that's how he goes by now, who's now playing some outfield with the call-up of Candelario. So, interesting stuff there. Pedro Martinez Jr. is a Detroit Tiger. Tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Detroit Red Wings in their first visit to Little Caesars Arena. For the first time this preseason forward, Justin Abdelkader and defenseman Nicholas Cronwall are expected to take the ice against the Blackhawks. However, Henrik Zetterberg will not take the ice. He is expected to play by the end of the week after practicing earlier this week. Game time, 7:30 p.m. Adidas isn't the only popular active sportswear company being entangled into the recent FBI investigations with men's college basketball. The FBI has given the Elite Youth Basketball League a subpoena. That's in association with, of course, Nike. Now, EYBL, Elite Youth Basketball League, is a part of the Nike Grassroots Basketball Division. However, the league itself isn't named in the case. Now, a former employee of Nike who ran the EYBL, Merrill Code, is the one name in the case. He left Nike more than 3 years ago to join Adidas Director of Global Sports Marketing, Jim Gatto, and assisted him in bribing high school players to attend Adidas-sponsored schools and, once they turn pro, sign with the company. This all comes after the FBI and federal prosecutors in New York announced they were digging into the, quote, dark underbelly, end quote, of college basketball. And last but certainly not least, on Wednesday, President Donald Trump said the NFL risks going to hell if it doesn't stop its players from protesting during the national anthem. He went on to say, quote, I think the NFL is in a box. I think they are in a really bad box. You look at what's happening with their ratings. You look at what's going on. I mean, frankly, the only thing that's doing well is the NFL pregame because everybody wants to see what's going on, end quote. The feud between Trump and the NFL has been going on since Friday and continues to persist, and we'll have extended dialogue on that very topic right now.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired! He's going to say, that guy that disrespects our flag, he's fired. And that owner, they don't know it. They don't know it. They're friends of mine, many of them. They don't know. They'll be the most popular person for a week. They'll be the most popular person in this country because that's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything that we stand for, okay? Everything that we stand for. And I know we have freedoms and we have freedom of choice and many, many different freedoms. But you know what? It's still totally disrespectful. And you know, when the NFL ratings are down massively, the NFL ratings are down massively. Now, the number one reason happens to be that they like watching what's happening on, you know, with yours truly. They like what's happening. This, because, you know, today, if you hit too hard, right, they hit too hard, 15 yards, throw him out of the game. They had that last week. I watched for a couple of minutes, and two guys just really beautiful tackle. Boom, 15 yards. The referee gets on television. His wife is sitting at home. She's so proud of him. They're ruining the game. Right? They're ruining the game. Hey, look, that's what they want to do. They want to hit, okay? They want to hit. But it is hurting the game. But you know what's hurting the game more than that? When people like yourselves turn on television and you see those people taking the knee when they're playing our great national anthem,
happy Thursday, ladies and gents. I am your host, Al Martin. and you are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We start today's Current Sports by addressing President Donald Trump, who over the weekend argued that NFL players need to respect the flag. During a rally, he called the players a word that I won't repeat. And I bleeped it, Isaac, because I felt like it needed to be bleeped. I don't even know if you can even... Can you say that word on the air? I have no idea.
I believe so. We won't.
Yeah, we won't.
I believe so.
I was, of course, out of the country. I'm just getting back from Jamaica as my fraternity brother, Brandon, just got married. I stood in his wedding. It was a beautiful wedding, but... No, this happened, I believe, the day after the wedding. Well, this is when I got news of it, I should say. The wedding was on Saturday. I didn't hear about this until Sunday, that President Donald Trump had called the players who are protesting the national anthem. He called them out of their name, basically, right? And I'm seeing some latest news here that President Donald Trump believes the NFL owners are, quote, afraid of their players, end quote, when it comes to the recent controversy over the players kneeling during the national anthem. Though it's an interesting time that we are living in here in 2017, because, first off, stick to sports is totally dead, all right? And if you don't like it, you can turn right now. Because I'm going down that rabbit hole right now. Stick to sports is totally dead. You know, you talk about collisions, Mr. President. Well, sports and politics are on a head-first collision right now with multiple flags being thrown on the play, okay? The comments made by President Donald Trump really had me flabbergasted because, you know, I'll be 27 on October 7th. But throughout my time here on planet Earth, you know, my sports fandom beginning probably like 4 or 5 years old, never before in my lifetime have I heard a president constantly spew rhetoric that has been so divisive and ignorant when it comes to race relations here in the United States of America. And, you know, what's particularly sad about this whole thing is that, you know, this started with Colin Kaepernick. It began with Colin Kaepernick, who was so fed up with seeing stories like Trayvon Martin, with seeing stories like Michael Brown, in seeing stories like Philando Castile, that he was fed up and decided to sit during the national anthem before football games. And the message now, which started with Cap, has now become lost. So much so that have you seen the recent version of Sports Illustrated? I saw Steph Curry weigh on this. Steph Curry, one of the biggest names in the NBA, who plays for the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry was asked about, you know, himself along with LeBron James and some other sports figures being on the cover of Sports Illustrated, standing in locked arm position, arm in arm. And he was asked about Colin Kaepernick not even being on the cover. How does that happen, Isaac? I mean, this starts with Colin. Have you seen the cover? I almost threw up when I saw it. I'm sitting there saying, if that doesn't tell you that the message has been lost, I don't know what does. The man who began this movement. It's crazy. This protest, folks, if you don't know what it's about inequality. It's about police brutality. It's about racial injustice. That is what this protest is about. And I feel like now it has become about the anthem itself and whether or not those kneeling during the national anthem, whether or not those individuals are attacking the fabric of America. That is not what this protest is about. Initially, you know, Kaepernick, he sat. You know, this kneeling stuff, that kind of was a transition due to Kaepernick engaging in conversation with a man by the name of Nate Boyer, who was a former American football long snapper and also a U.S. Army Green Beret. Cap had a conversation with Mr. Boyer, who has sacrificed so much for this country, and Boyer expressed that it would sit better with him if he knelt instead of sit during the national anthem. Because if you remember the early parts when this first happened, which was like more than a year ago now, Cap sat. He didn't kneel. And out of respect of the words from Nate Boyer, that's when we saw Colin Kaepernick kneel. Because it still got his message, which again is about inequality here in America, police brutality, and racial injustice. It still pushed that message across. This is not disrespecting the country. When you watch, despite what you may feel, and again, if you feel the opposite, I love to hear from you. I love you to post me up on this. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, because I will listen to that point of view. You know, I think that's something that we don't do enough of, listening here in America, because we are still stuck in our ways that we're stuck in our ignorance. It is ignorance when you don't want to hear the other side of things. So I'll listen to you and I'll try to take in what you're saying, but I want you to really understand what this protest started by Colin Kaepernick, what the foundation of it truly is, because we've lost that now. It's not disrespecting the country. Cap actually went on to say, elaborating on the protest, and it's probably even more than him, you know, protesting police brutality and injustice and inequality here in America. He went on to say that he's not happy with how our military is treated after coming home to serve, from serving, I should say, which is why he had the conversation with Mr. Nate Boyer. He doesn't believe that the military has been treated right in the country once they return from duty. Topics such as health care, living conditions, financial stability. Colin elaborated on each and every one of those. Why? And I sat there when I heard those comments that you just heard in our introduction. You know, I sat back and said, why in the world is the president of the United States, a man who is the busiest man in the world, has so much on his table right now, only 8 months into his presidency, why is he commenting on football players? Now, I get it. It's a national anthem, but I mean, don't you have something better to talk about during that time? And the only conclusion that I could come to, President Trump believes that this is also an attack on him. Okay? You know, throughout his presidency, which is, again, only 8 months in, throughout his presidency, he has shown how incredibly insecure he is. You know, any attack or critical assessment on the job he has done, he goes out of his way via Twitter, of all places, via Twitter, to voice his displeasure, trying to discredit the media organization, media outlet, or institution that is calling him out. He has become so hypersensitive that when he sees something like this, when he sees NFL players sitting or kneeling during a song that is played before every game, that has been historically viewed as one that celebrates this nation, he feels like it's an attack on himself as well. Okay? Mr. President, I'm sorry. With all due respect, you have it totally wrong. And to call these men who are citizens of this great nation, to call these men out of their names, to call them a name that I never say. No one should say that word. But to call them out of their names like that, in a public forum like that, what you did publicly was idiotic and unethically reckless. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Jemele Hill's story that was published courtesy of The Undefeated. It was fantastic because she opened up about what occurred. Well, how long ago was that now? What, a week ago? With the whole ESPN situation in which he tweeted out that President Trump is a white supremacist and he has surrounded himself with other white supremacists. And we all know how that story blew up. We covered it extensively here at WKAR. We had a panel discussion that featured Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, Rico Beard of the Spartan Beat, along with myself and our news director, Reginald Hardwick, as we kind of sounded off. And we were all in agreement that, hey, Jemele, it took a lot of courage to go that route. But she went through an absolute emotional roller coaster last week and still is probably going through that. And she talked about a time, you know, when she starts the article off talking about a time where she was spending the night at her grandmother's house with a couple of her close friends, right? They had a terrible idea to steal a couple of beers from Grandma. And Grandma ended up noticing that the beers were missing and knew automatically that Jemele had stolen the beers. And she confronted Jemele, and Jemele cried and immediately confessed. And her grandmother didn't whip her. She just stated, "I am extremely disappointed in you," and walked away. And she felt heartbroken because she had felt like she let down someone that she loves, family, right? She felt the same way. She felt like she let ESPN down when she sent that tweet out, or those tweets, numerous tweets out, depicting ESPN in that kind of light. But she went on to say, and it's so complex because she goes on to say that, you know, especially, you know, being a woman and a woman of color, being in my position, it's tough when you go through something like that. But she can't pretend as if the tone and behavior of this presidential administration is normal. It's a direct quote from the article. And what's right is right. And what I love particularly is this graph here, where she talks about what happened last week with her. She goes on to say this, quote, "The events of last weekend showed that the intersection of sports and politics is the most pronounced we've seen in decades. Sports always has been intertwined with social change in America. But let's not forget some of the athletes who instigated that change. Jesse Owens, Wilma Rudolph, Muhammad Ali, Curt Flood, and Jackie Robinson only became beloved icons once history proved them to be right." She ends the article by saying the larger point was, when it comes to that story with her grandmother, sure, not stealing is the obvious takeaway, but maybe the larger point was, be better no matter what. We as a country need to be better, folks. We as a country need to be sympathetic to individuals who have and come from backgrounds that we will never understand. I don't expect our president, Donald Trump, who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth to understand what it's like to be a black man in America. But what I do expect from the leader of this country is to at least listen. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I see a time from Grand Rapids. We'll continue to take your calls. I'll read a few of your comments via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. You can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A by addressing Donald Trump weighing in on the NFL protest. If you have anything that you would like to contribute to that conversation or anything on your sports noggin, period, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Tom from Grand Rapids who has been waiting oh so patiently. Tom, welcome to Current Sports.
It's time. Hey, Al,
Before
we start, just so you know, like when you went to break there or whatever you did, your signal sounds totally different now.
Oh, does it? The signal sounds different? Okay, that's weird. Okay, we'll get
kinda
on that.
Kind of sounds like you're in a tin can.
Okay, we'll check on that. Thank you, though. Thank you for that, Tom.
Okay, all right. So let's go back to your, I think I told Isaac it was a rant, but I don't get all this stuff. And I'm just going to say the way it is. I can't relate to living in your shoes, and I'm sure you can't relate to living in mine. But there is one thing that all of our shoes should relate to, and that's that the fact that we're all citizens of the United States of America. When they play the national anthem, stand up. Do what you're supposed to do. Maybe it's because I was raised that way, I just don't think that's the forum to protest. You're upsetting as many people as you're trying to make a point to. That never helps. It just fuels the fire. And then things get said and done that each side should be embarrassed for.
Well, I tell you what, I think Isaac, I keep bringing this up because I think Isaac brought up a great point when Cap first started the protest. Protests are not supposed to, I should say this, protests are supposed to shake up things. They're supposed to make you turn your head a bit, all right? And there's no rule out there, Tom, that says that you have to stand during the national anthem. You're breaking no rule when doing this. So this is...
There's an NFL rule, Al.
There's a rule about the protest. I would love for you to show me this, Tom.
No, there's a rule about the players' conduct during the national anthem. It says they'll stand, hold their helmet in their left hand.
I've never seen that, Tom. Where are you getting that from?
There has been no rule
in the NFL or in this country that says that you're supposed to stand with your hand over your heart. That has never been in the write-up of the NFL.
I think you need to check that out.
Send me that, please.
They measure how tall their socks are. They tell them what they can wear, what they can do.
There's no NFL national anthem rule, Tom.
I don't know
where you pulled that from, brother, but that's totally wrong. That's the first thing I did was do research on that when I first saw Cap sit during the national anthem. If that was the case, they would have fined Colin Kaepernick. There would have been a punishment from the league. There was no punishment.
But that starts this whole madness, and that's what we're doing right now. We're disagreeing over the fact that as an American citizen, you owe the respect to those that came before you and those that will come after you to do the right thing during the national anthem. If you want to protest and you have a cause, fantastic. But but maybe that's just not the right time to do it so that you don't fan the flames of hostility to try to resolve an issue.
Thank you for your call, Tom. Appreciate it.
It's pretty simple in my mind. I don't know.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I constantly bring up this quote, Isaac, you know, because I thought you put it great. You know, protests are supposed to get you to think. That's exactly what Colin Kaepernick accomplished when he decided to sit down during the national anthem. And again, you talk about respect for the country. Well, you talk about respect for the country and the historical ties that have not been so kind to black people here in America. Especially if you look at the history of the song talks about slavery. There are slave ties to the lyrics of the song itself. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're getting a lot of calls right now. We've got Steve from Chicago on line two that wants to weigh in. Steve, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I'm fine. I don't know why you guys are getting so exercised over this. Trump is fine. He said what he had to say. Nobody's pissed off except the black people. Now, let me ask you this. How many white people died trying to fix slavery?
Yeah, work on to actually Steve, cut that off right now, just in case there are any volatile comments.
Yeah, Steve, we got to move on. That was probably the most ignorant comment you could have made when having this discussion. And you talk about this, and I want to pause. Let's take this as use this opportunity to learn. I just talked about in segment A, us as a country listening to both sides. You're going to have idiots like Steve from Chicago. They're going to call in and not understand or not even take the opportunity to understand the other side of this. How do you make that? Me as a black man in America, Isaac, when I hear a comment like that, do you know what immediately comes to mind? It's not lollipops and rainbows.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it that way. The only people upset are the black people? Okay.
I would differ with that, too. I could say that as a white person.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, on that point, you know, a lot of white people did fight to end slavery and whatnot. Shouldn't you fight the right fight right now, too?
What's morally right?
That's exactly.
That's what we should be
that's
asking.
That's what should drive you.
That's what should drive
simply.
You. What is right?
We appreciate the call of Tom, you know, who's calling in, giving an authentic
back up your points,
opinion.
Man.
But come on.
Camille from Lansing's on line three. Camille, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Great, great. What's your thoughts on this conversation?
Like Isaac even just said that when you were out at one point, he actually did the conversation about calling when it first started, and I ended up calling. And just to briefly run through that before my comment is that my daughter's actually in the military, which makes me a Blue Star mom, and she's my only kid. So therefore, I'm actually making a sacrifice so that she can actually fight for our ability to have the freedom to say whether we want to stand or sit or kneel when it comes to the flag. And even with her being in the military, me personally, when I go to events, like if I'm at the Spartans game or the Lugnuts or any type of game that plays the anthem, I don't stand for the anthem. And my daughter is actually a part of the military. I don't stand for the anthem. And I spoke with my daughter about it. She didn't feel disrespected at all. She actually applauded, you know, Colin's situation, because after being a soldier, she's also an African-American woman, and these are her brothers and her uncles and, you know, her fathers that, you know, being treated this way. Or her as a woman facing inequality. And so me, myself, as a mother of somebody who's a soldier, no, I don't feel like it's disrespecting the flag, because I won't stand for it, because things go beyond that for me, and not to say it in a disrespectful sense. But I think the only thing that didn't set right for me when it came to Colin Kaepernick was that at the beginning when he only sat, and then somebody else came and told him, I will feel better if you kneeled. And so to me, yeah, the kneeling is for the fallen soldiers, and I'm okay if you choose to kneel. Like, I'm okay with that.
Well, you know, and just quick pause there, Camille. And that's why I wanted to bring up that in segment A. You know, Colin Kaepernick, first off, taking the time to talk to an individual like a Nate Boyer, who, you know, is a U.S. Army Green Beret, him taking the time to sympathize and open up his ears to what Nate had to say in regards to the protest, and Nate saying, look, I hear what you're trying to do here. I would feel more comfortable. It would sit better with me if you didn't sit during a national anthem, but just take a knee. And the fact that Cap decided to modify his protest to do that in respect for Nate Boyer, who has fought for this country and put his life on the line for this country, tells me that the message that Colin Kaepernick is trying to convey here is not one of hate. It's not one of disrespect for the country. It's to get people to think why he's taking a knee here. Because there are constant people, minorities here in America, who have been racially discriminated against, and that needs to stop. But yet, all that we want to talk about is the anthem itself. Kamiya, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Al. See you guys.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I feel like we need a bit of a breath. Let's hit our final break, and we'll transition to our guest for today's current sports. Our dear friend Jason Ruff is live and in the house here in Studio S, MSU hockey beat writer for Impact Sports. We will talk MSU hockey media day with Jay Ruff as he was in the house to witness Danton Cole's presser yesterday. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been chatting about Donald Trump and his comments, President Donald Trump and his comments concerning the NFL protests that have been taking place across the league, multiple players kneeling during the national anthem. We even saw NFL owner Jerry Jones taking a knee and linking up arms with the Dallas Cowboys. Also, I'm seeing this. Our very own Scott Paul just ran this message into Studio West. About a dozen House Democrats linked arms in lieu of putting their hands over their hearts during the Pledge of Allegiance at the open of today's session. So this is quite amazing how this story has just grown and how, you know, this act during, you know, the national anthem, and now we're seeing it during, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, how this act has just kind of just, you know, grown across our nation. If you have thoughts on it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know, before we get to our guest, I do want to get this brother, because he actually, I saw him react after we had an ignorant call from Steve from Chicago. I saw him acting, and I saw his comment after that call. But we got our dear friend Austin from Kalamazoo on line one. Austin, how you doing, my friend? What's on your mind?
Good. You guys doing all right today?
Good, good. It's a heavy show today. Put it that way.
So I'll lighten it up with a joke before I get to my point. So
leave it up to Austin. I love him. There we go.
I was just talking to Isaac, and he said, "Hey, Austin, I'm sorry about the show. I was doing it from New Orleans Monday." And I said, "Man, it seems like everything in New Orleans is having technical difficulties. The football team and now the radio show. So I think you need to stay away from New Orleans, man."
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. How long did it take you to think of that one, Austin?
It was right away. As soon as I was talking to him, it like clicked in my mind. I was like, let me throw the show to one hitter to lighten up the mood a little bit.
He's always throwing shade.
Yeah, you know how we do it down the swamp, you know.
All right, exactly. So I know you got something to say about this whole conversation we've been having, my man. What do you like to contribute?
Yeah, man. So I just want to say, I think a lot of people's, I guess people are getting offended. I think the reason for that is because they fail to acknowledge the point of why Colin Kaepernick did what he did, and if we're talking about disrespecting the flag and, you know, doing all of this stuff,
then let's look at the integrity of the NFL. The only reason why this came about is because it was a profitable thing for the NFL. They got paid millions of dollars to say, hey, guys, can we sing the national anthem before the game starts? And then you got everybody saying, you know, you guys are just out there to play football. You shouldn't be worried about anything else. Well, if that's the case, let's stop the Thanksgiving game. Let's stop the breast cancer awareness game. Let's stop the other games that bring awareness to things that are troubling our society. Breast cancer is troubling our society, and the NFL would like to bring awareness to that. But as soon as we talk about injustices and as soon as we talk about racial issues, that gets swept under the rug, and it now becomes disrespecting the flag and disrespecting the national anthem. And my last point, Al, I'll tag you in it. My brother shared a picture. I'll tag you in, Isaac, on it. My brother,
I know what picture you're talking about. Yeah. It compares the it's talking about the national anthem song, right?
No.
Oh, it's a different one. Okay.
So it's a picture my brother posted of African American gentlemen protesting outside of the Boston Celtics Stadium. This was like years ago, and it shows a white guy, one white guy holding his arms back, and the other guy with the tip of a flagpole with the American flag on it, stabbing him in the stomach. And so we're talking about disrespecting the flag, but you see images like that. And that's what's so disheartening. And those are the things. The flag represents equality and justice. And the Pledge of Allegiance said with liberty and justice for all. So us protesting that is honoring the flag and honoring what the flag represents. It represents freedom, liberty, and justice for all. Whether you be black, white, Asian, Hispanic, gay, straight, we just want liberty and justice for all. And that's what Colin Kaepernick is getting. That's the point he's getting at.
Austin, very well said. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys have a good one. Hey, Isaac, stay out of New Orleans, man.
Stay out of
you
your
know
home.
I can't do that.
Stay
Come
out of your
on,
hometown. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports to close out the show today. He's a dear friend of the show, former Current Sports production assistant, who is, of course, a hockey aficionado, a hockey expert, who covers MSU hockey for Impact Sports. Our dear friend, Jay Ruff. Jason Ruff, how you doing, man?
I just want to go talk about some hockey. That's like my only recluse from all this political baloney that's going through the air. So let's just talk about hockey, please.
Well, let's dive into it because, you know, Danton Cole, this will be his first year taking over as head coach of the program. And, you know, the woes of this program during the Tom Anastas era, especially on the back end of his tenure, they have been well documented. What kind of vibe did you get during Media Day when it comes to Cole, and how does he feel about this upcoming season for MSU hockey?
I got a vibe that, at least in terms from the players, they're excited about the new coaching staff, but they're also motivated. They want to get better. They want to be winning games and winning championships, you could tell. And I also got a vibe of that this coaching staff knows what they need to do. Remember, Al, there's 42 years of combined coaching experience in this staff. So, I mean, that's a lot. They know what they need to do, and they're not concerned about preseason rankings or where people think they're going to end up. They just want to get better every single day, achieve monthly goals, and really get better as a program.
What makes Danton Cole the right man for this job?
I think he had one great line. Competence leads to confidence. And really, if you look at it, that's what Michigan State has been lacking for the last couple of years. They haven't been playing good, solid, fundamental hockey, competent hockey, and they haven't been confident with the puck. And when you're not confident in any sport, you're not going to win games. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the primary goal for Danton Cole this year, to get Michigan State playing competent hockey, get their confidence back, and hopefully win a few games and maybe even surprise a couple people.
You noted, Jason, in your latest article, which you can check out at impact89fm.org/sports, your latest article recounting what took place at Media Day. You talk about how Cole inherits a team that won only 7 games last year, has yet to win a game on its home ice in 2017, lost its leading scorer to the NHL, I believe in Mason Appleton, right? As we mentioned in our headliners, only has 6 upperclassmen. What are the realistic expectations for this team? When taking all that into account, I mean, what should MSU fans expect? Success? Immediate?
No.
Mid-success off the bat?
This isn't going to be Jeff Brohm at Purdue where all of a sudden he's going to flip a switch and all of a sudden we're talking about Purdue possibly upsetting Michigan here. But I think what constitutes a successful season, what Spartan fans should be expecting, is constant improvement If you want win total, I'd put it around 10 wins with a couple upset wins at home against maybe a Michigan or a Notre Dame or a Wisconsin or a Minnesota. But just success, a better team on the ice. And hockey fans will know what that looks like having watched the Tomanassas teams of the past couple years. Remember, Al, not a lot of people expected much from the 2014 Michigan State hockey team, which after the second half of the season, they caught fire and they finished second half of the Big Ten. Who knows?
What do you like about this roster? And what are the challenges going to be other than, of course, the obvious youth?
Our biggest challenge is going to be goaltending. They got to find a starting goaltender. It's going to be an open competition at that position. But the thing I like is that you still have that core four, or the four corners, I call them, of sophomores. Kotarenko, Hirose, Saliba, Lamden. Those guys really, I think, are going to be your core offensive group for the next couple of years. And I'm expecting them to take a big step this year.
Again, we're talking with Jason Ruff of Impact Sports. He covers MSU hockey for Impact Sports. You also have a podcast, am I right?
Oh, yeah, award-winning podcast.
Award. Oh, look at that. Big time now. You move up from current sports, and look at you. You got awards now, right? Pump that a bit. When can people listen to that?
Behind the Mask at Impact 89 FM. You can check it out on the website, impact89fm.sports. We just released our first podcast of the year, our Monday mailbag. Took some great questions from the MSU hockey community. Be sure to check it out. We publish one every single week. Next week, we will have MSU.Spartans.com writer Neil Koepke on our show. We're looking forward to that.
Neil is, I tell you, he knows his stuff, right? He knows his hockey.
He's
dude,
an encyclopedia.
For sure. So October 4th, next week, green and white game at Munn Ice Arena. And then after that, they will take on Toronto on October 7th, the same night as the Michigan and Michigan State game on my birthday. That will be a 2 p.m. Puck drop. As far as the schedule lines up for Michigan State, what challenges, when looking at the schedule from top to bottom, especially when they enter conference play, what do you like about the schedule? How challenging is the schedule? Are there some opportunities for some big upsets for the Spartans?
I think there is. The schedule's really backloaded. To start things off, Michigan State's non-conference schedule looks pretty good. Bowling Green, Western Michigan, Lake State, those are teams that Michigan State should be able to get some wins out of. However, they start Big Ten in a really tough place. Two games on the road against Minnesota and then a home series against Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But then they have a home and home against Ferris State, again on the road against Penn State, and then you get into Big Ten play as you hit the new year. I really think Michigan State will have a good chance to make some hay early in the year against some weaker non-conference opponents, some former CCHA opponents, which should help fan interest. And afterwards, after winter break, who knows? They get that confidence going.
That is very true. Where could you see this team finishing in the Big Ten?
Realistically,
and who are your favorites in the Big Ten?
I think the ceiling for Michigan State this year is to finish fifth. I don't see them going any higher than that unless, they do turn into Jeff Brohm's Purdue and just go crazy. Mm-hmm. But my favorite in the Big Ten, quite frankly, I really like Penn State and Wisconsin. I think, and the fact that Penn State was not picked first or second in the Big Ten was just a travesty. For me, they return most of their team. They're defending Big Ten champions. They're young. I really like the Nittany Lions in the conference this year. Wisconsin will be interesting to see because they were so hot last year. But will they be able to carry that over from year one to year two? That'll be a key question.
Can you give us a few key players or maybe even a sleeper that could probably turn some heads this upcoming year for MSU hockey?
For MSU hockey? Oh, MSU I thought I said for the Big Ten. For the Big Ten, that's going to be Notre Dame. But for MSU hockey, keep your eye on Mitch Lewandowski, the freshman. Did a lot of really good things with the Chicago Steel last year. He's one of their leadership group. That team won the Clark Cup, their first ever in program history.
Of course you choose the kid from Chicago,
of
right?
Of course. Of course. Well, he's from Michigan, but he played
but
in
he
Chicago.
But he played in Chicago,
well,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, here's a kid that once he gets his legs under him, I could definitely see him logging some first or second line minutes and being an offensive cog for this team.
During media day yesterday, Jason, do you feel like some positive life has been breathed into this program now with the hiring of Danton Cole? Because I feel like just walking around campus and kind of getting a feel for MSU hockey fans out there who have, gone through a really tough time these last few years, they feel like there's hope now, right?
Yep.
Are you getting that feeling? Did you get that feeling?
I get that vibe, too.
Okay.
And for almost every single hockey fan, they've got their guy. Even if they wanted George Gwozdecky, Danton Cole's not bad replacement either. Danton Cole is the guy. I firmly believe that. I know plenty of fans believe that. So now everyone, the fan base, the players, they're all on the same page. It's now just a matter of putting in that work, getting that competence, getting that confidence, and playing good hockey and bringing Michigan State back to where they want to be. And I'll end it with this. Dan Cole, his advice to fans, get your tickets now while you still can, alluding back to those days when Spartan hockey was
That was the hot ticket in the Ron Mason days.
And of course, that elicited a few chuckles from the press corps. But, you know, a few years, who knows? Right. Dan Cole may be getting the last laugh.
All right, we will certainly see. All right, Jay Ruff, again, how can folks read your work? I kind of pubbed it already, but again, remind the folks out there.
Over at Impact89FM/sports. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jason_R_Ruff. I'm the guy wearing the nice suit and the broadcasting headset, like Al Martin here.
So are you doing any game? I'm curious. Are you play-by-playing any games this year?
Yeah, we're looking to do some play-by-play for women's hockey, the women's club team, and I also plan to be doing a couple games for BTN Student U this year, so really excited about that.
Fantastic. Keep us updated on those games as well.
Of course.
All right. Okay, well, Isaac, I didn't give you much time here, but I do want you to weigh in, my man, on the moves in the NBA. I promise you, we'll elaborate more on these on tomorrow's show. But has the paradigm shifted at all in favor of the rest of the league in relation to the Golden State Warriors with any of the moves that have been made?
It hasn't. Warriors still over 50% likelihood to win the championship. I do want to pocket veto, though, that for maybe tomorrow's show, and just say Tom from Grand Rapids, called in. He looked it up. So in the NFL's operational rule book, it is suggested. It's a guideline. It is not a rule.
It's not a rule.
That teams stand for the national anthem. And I just want to say, that's what this show is about, dialogue, so we can correct any misconceptions. His opinion is not wrong whatsoever. But once we get these facts straight, then we can make steps forward because liberty is not trotting on another person's liberty.
That's very, very, very true. So it's suggested, not a rule, though. Not a rule.
Correct.
All right, folks. Thank you so much to all who called in and weighed in. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.